The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. Right now, the summer sales event, 0% financing, zero money down, zero payments for 90 days. Get all the details at BillCurryFord.com. We will hear from General Manager Sean Sullivan later on this podcast, BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget to ask Sean for that Ira Kaufman discount. And Florida's Elite Restoration, be prepared. Florida's Elite Restoration, 5-star Google reviews across the board. If you have mold issues, storm damage, water damage, fire, flood, get a free inspection, and they will work with you incredibly well. We have all used their services, and they are top flight. Be prepared. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ask when you call them 24/7, ask for the Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan discount. And if you need their service after a free inspection, you'll get $500 back. Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman is here. The king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. No Lee DeCamper today on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
He's on the move.
He's in Pittsburgh following the Bucks around like a lunatic. And we'll be back with him on our next podcast for sure. But it is my pleasure to be here with the Sage on the day after.
I'm 71 plus one, Stevie. 71 plus one.
Plus one? What does that mean, Ira?
Plus one day.
Oh, one day.
Plus one day.
A day after the Sage's birthday. So we got to ask you, Ira, did you have a good birthday?
It was outstanding. Golf in the morning. Got two new clubs. Got a new driver and a new hybrid. I never knew what the hell a hybrid was. I thought it was a car. And I did okay. Might have shot a 52, nine holes. Which for me isn't too bad. Breakfast included in the nine holes. You know, that's what we do.
Eggs?
Scrambled. No bread. That's a concession. Potatoes, of course. Orange juice. A couple of heaping slabs of bacon. But no bread. But bring the bacon.
A little moderation. Okay.
And then did some things around the house.
Nap? You get your nap in?
I got it in. And then got up and off we go to Ybor City. Off we go.
Dancing?
We ended up, I didn't mention a restaurant the last time, so Cafe Stefano or something. It's right next to Columbia. It's an Italian restaurant, and I put on the reservation birthday, so they gave me a couple of things at the end. Finished off the dinner with gelato, Steve. Three different gelatos, pistachio, chocolate, vanilla. The wine was flowing. Nobody recognized me.
Well, Monday night, it's not busy.
And I got something. Steve, I ordered something. I don't think I've ever ordered it before, and it was expensive. But I said, to hell with it.
A side of vegetables?
You're not 70. That's outstanding, Steve. I said, you're only 70 once. Veal chop. You ever have a veal chop?
No.
14-ounce veal chop with some kind of mushrooms on the top and a sauce. Beautiful. My wife got, we call zuppa de pesce. You've had that with the linguine with sure. All the seafood. And you can't finish that bowl. You can't. And so we brought it home. Caesar salad. Asked for anchovies. Few. They had them. Most places don't have them. My wife can't even look at it, Steve. Can't look at an anchovy. She can't look at liver and onions. I get it once a year, liver and onions. She can't look at it. You know, I can't look at sweet potatoes. I don't want to look at it.
She can't look at you half the time either.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so on the drive back, Steve, it's on 22nd Street, which is where Columbia is, off 7th Avenue. 7th Avenue, the main drag.
Sure.
And it was quiet. It's a Monday night. A lot of places closed. Restaurants closed. Clubs closed. So I get to 22nd Street off 7th Avenue. I make a right turn. Hey, I'm going into the parking lot. It's a one-way street. I'm going the wrong way.
Ooh.
Here come the cars. They're flashing the lights at me. The lights spell out Sage. What the hell
wow.
are you doing? So I maneuvered into the parking lot and got rid of those people. Then, on the way back, I'm going down 7th Avenue towards 10th Street, 11th, 9th Street. And I make my turn on Nuccio Parkway. Sounds like a gangster. Nuccio Parkway. That takes you to, downtown Tampa or whatever. And I'm going around this winding road, and then I see road closed. So I make another turn. I'm going the wrong way again on a one-way thing. And it was about a mile stretch. Luckily, there were no cars coming.
Ira.
My wife's screaming
now,
at me.
I know you don't drink and drive. I know you said the wine was flowing.
I had one little Merlot over here.
It's just an expression for you.
So somehow I made it.
And to think I let you drive me home last week.
Oh, my. Twice I drove you home.
Damn.
You better watch me. You ever see me on a roundabout? I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Those roundabouts?
All right.
I think they have a lot of them in Europe. There's a lot of them in Europe.
There's that new law in Florida now where if you're over 70, they can retest your road test.
I don't know who the hell's got the right of way on these roundabouts. The cars are coming right at me. Anyway, right. I'm here to talk some Bucks, Steve.
Ira's back watching.
And I gave him an A, and you were worried about me the other day. You said, Ira, what are you on, the Buck payroll? What's going on here? That might have been a little high, but I thought they were in command of that game the whole way.
They were, and Charlie Heck, who we didn't talk about, he played 10 snaps. I watched him all again. I mean, he's not going to play the Titans every game in the preseason or in the regular season, but
they ran the ball very effectively.
He did okay.
I thought that was the standout of the night. The Bucks ran the ball a lot, and they ran it pretty well.
Overall, there's not too much to review there. The injury, as you reported first, Rashad White, no big deal. Todd Bowles characterized him as day-to-day, which is code for within 2 weeks, he'll be ready. So I just hope that it's not something that lingers with
you're not going to see him in the preseason, the rest of the preseason. That's fine.
No. That's not going to happen. Saturday, still, as we reported, the starters are going to go. Ball said some will, some won't. Well, obviously, some will, some won't, because who knows if somebody gets a little...
To me, that means Mayfield's going to play in Pittsburgh. That's what it means.
Yeah, unless they have some sort of amazing... joint practice on Thursday where everything is perfect, and Bowles is like, hey, you know what, but that's unlikely, and that's the plan. So that's his plan. I'm sure they'll stick to it unless something changes it, but the weather's supposed to be nice for those practices up in Pittsburgh. One morning there, I think Friday morning or Thursday morning, 64 degrees, which is, I don't know.
Apparently Bowles didn't like Monday's practice, Steve? Wasn't happy with it?
Whatever it was, and of course he didn't really tell anybody. But he called them together and said, you know, we need to fix them.
Maybe he thought they were lethargic.
Probably. Sending a message, whatever that exactly was. And, you know, he sort of danced around it. But as Lee reported, players were very quiet. Right after that, you could hear a pin drop kind of thing going back to the huddle. And, you know.
I think you got to do that once in a while.
Yeah.
You got
to
do that.
You have to. No team is perfect going through camp. And it makes sense. Might be a little sluggish on that kind of day. That's what a Monday after a game on August 11th, Sage's birthday is going to happen. So
I'm very curious about Wirfs at this point, Steve. I'm curious about him. Is he going on the pup list or he's not going on the pup list?
I don't think there's a chance.
I don't think there's a guarantee he's going on the pup list.
No, I don't think there's really even a chance unless he has a setback. Again, as we
said. Why resign yourself that he's going to miss four games? Why do that?
I don't think it's worth the gamble, especially considering.
So what are you doing? You save a roster spot by doing that or something?
You save a roster spot that
guy was not going to play.
Bunch of inactive guys anyway. It's a little goofy, but as I mentioned before, with Wirfs, if he's not on the pup list, aside from being able to come back in week 4, if he's ready, or week 3, he can do different things with the team, practice in a more effective manner and practice fully, go through walkthroughs. So he could be mentally ready in week 5 if it even takes that long.
I think this pup list is a worst-case scenario, and I don't think that's going to be the case with Tristan Wirfs. I think it's the last straw you do.
One big thing I'm looking forward to finding out, Ira, because I think it'll be telling, is whether Chris Godwin makes the trip to Pittsburgh. I think that might be a tip-off as to how close he is, because
I don't think he's close, Steve. I don't think he's close.
It's the biggest secret at $1 where Chris Godwin really is. If he makes a trip to Pittsburgh, I'll think he's a little closer. But
have you seen him run at all?
No, there's been no mention of him running. There's been no Bucks social media 3-second little clip of Chris Godwin running that everybody would love to see. He hasn't put anything out that would show him running.
News seems to be pretty positive about Kate Otten, so he could play Saturday.
He's back, so I'm sure he'll play Saturday.
Mayfield's playing, that means Mike Evans is playing because you want to get that chemistry going.
We'll see.
Pittsburgh's a good test. Well,
I think they'll leave it up to Mike Evans. You know, if he says no, then I don't think we'll see him. They'll leave it up to him. Mike Evans did his interview with Kay Adams last week, and it was pretty interesting, Ira. He, aside from talking about how great he feels and how motivated he is by different things, he was very upbeat about continuing his career, and he said, I'm a Buck for life regardless. And I didn't like the regardless part because Kay Adams had asked him about Jason Light getting a contract done, and the regardless felt like, well, even if I go to another team for a couple of years, I'm a Buck for life regardless. That's what it felt like.
Is there any way in the world Jason Light would want to see Mike Evans in another uniform?
No chance.
That can't happen.
But if Mike Evans says, guys, I got a real cool opportunity to go to Houston, or I really want to play with Patrick Mahomes, challenge myself. We didn't have the best year. I want to go for it. Emeka's great. I want to go. They're not going to stand in his way. Would they?
I think that's a big stretch, Steve.
They stand in his way if he wanted to go?
Well,
would they franchise him?
No.
Okay.
No. Out of respect for Evans. But I don't see it happening. I think it's very far-fetched.
I think it's far-fetched, but, I mean, again, why?
Same thing with Levante. He's not going anywhere.
But look at all these receivers. Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Julio Jones, they all moved on. So it feels far-fetched, but the NFL is a real-time league.
I'm not sure they were as involved in the community as Mike Evans is. I think that's a factor.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think he'd break the Glazers' heart if that happened. I think they'd be.
If he really wanted to go, yeah, I think he would. He'd break all the fans' hearts, too. But if he went to an AFC team, I think. If he went to his hometown in Houston, I think people could understand it. But anyway, it was good news that he felt like he wants to play, at least as of now. But what he did say is how much he likes those new wrinkles from Josh Grizzard in the offense. And Kay Adams fired back at him and said, well, what are those new wrinkles? What will they do? And he said, potentially get me the ball more.
Didn't he say the same thing about either Canales or Cone, that they had some new concepts that they were installing?
Sure.
And he was excited about it.
Sure.
He did say that.
So you got to take it with a grain of salt. Yeah. But I pulled up the numbers, Ira. Last year, in the games he actually played, Mike Evans, 7.85 targets a game. Now, that includes those games when he came back late and they're pounding him the ball.
Not a lot.
No, it's not a huge number. But especially considering in the framework of when he came back from the injury, they went to him a lot. He had the most yards in the league in the weeks that the final 7 weeks or whatever when he came back. And
you think part of that was getting him to the 1,000?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's factored into the 7.85, which isn't a huge number. Now, that was down 8 targets a game, 8.0 with Dave Canales, so not down very far. In 2022, 8.5 with Byron Leftwich. But in the 2 years with Tom Brady, he averaged less than 7 targets a game. They had a ton of weapons, and that was the situation.
I think the Buck people would tell you he's drawing too much coverage. He's drawing too much coverage. We don't want to throw into double coverage. I'm not sure that's totally accurate. Does he get double covered every play? I don't believe that, Steve.
Every play? No, but mostly, yeah. I mean, and of course, Baker Mayfield, if he spots the single coverage on Mike, he's probably changing the play.
Well, if Godwin's not ready to play, Steve, in the first month, and Egbuka hasn't established himself as a pro, and I don't think teams are obsessed with covering Jalen McMillan, even though I think he's got a bright future, I'm not sure that number's going to go up, because why not double-team Mike Evans at this point if Godwin's not playing?
Yeah, unless they move him around, or, you know, early in his career, he got a ton of targets. Dirk Cutter used to put him in the slot, and I'm not saying they want to do that, but Evans wants those catches. He said he wants it early. I know that it'll benefit the team greatly if he gets that record out of the way, or at least is on track big time. But I don't think Raheem Morris is sitting in his office tomorrow morning saying, hey, we're going to see if Mike Evans can beat us. I think they're going to take Evans away and take their chances with a rookie in his first game.
You know what play sticks in my mind in that regard, Steve, is the Denver game, which was a terrible game for the Bucs overall. The offense was terrible, and they didn't make key stops against a rookie quarterback. But Steve, remember early in the game, Evans was running near the right sidelines, and he was double covered, and Mayfield threw him the ball anyway. He had no chance to catch that ball. They had two guys right in front of him. I think the ball was picked off near the right sideline. You know, Evans, he kind of looked like he gave a half-hearted effort to try to catch the ball, because I think he felt he was just out of position. He had no chance, the angle on the ball. And so that's a prime case where Mayfield did force the ball to Evans and paid a price. You remember that play, Steve?
Yeah, it was an awkward
play. It was very awkward.
I can't really say he didn't give the best effort, but it was an awkward play. And look, Patrick Surtain shut him down. That's really what happened in that game, and that's why he was, Defensive Player of the Year?
He was, which is rare for a DB.
Yeah, very rare. So I get it. One last thing he said, Ira. He said Davante Adams motivates him. Now, same draft class. Evans got him.
Yeah, they're very similar. They're very similar.
And their numbers are very, very similar. Evans has 2 more touchdowns. He's got more yardage, but Adams has
more catches.
More catches.
Yeah, he's got more catches.
And I think a few fans, I even got a couple of emails about it. Mike Evans has never been first-team All-Pro, which feels hard to believe, but Adams has done
I think that's a reflection of catches. He's never had 100 catches. Never had 100 catches.
It's hard for the voters, I think, to when they see a guy with 102 catches. It's just a
and
number.
Adams caught 18 touchdowns a couple of years ago, two, 3 years ago. Caught 18. That's a big, big number.
Yeah, he led the league a couple of times in that. Hard to believe that Mike Evans could go through his career like that as never making an All-Pro. And I bet you at some point, you know, when you're presenting Mike Evans for the Hall of Fame and everybody thinks he's a first ballot guy, you're going to have some people in that room saying, you know, he never made All-Pro.
I was talking to some people.
Was he all decade? I don't think he was all decade.
Yeah, he was not. Steve, I was talking to some people before the game Saturday night, and I happened to mention that a large contingent of Buck Nation is under the assumption that it's a given that Mike Evans is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I was telling these people, based on my experience of doing it 20 years in that room, I said I would be very surprised if Mike Evans was a first ballot Hall of Famer. What? I said, he's not Randy Moss. I mean, he's not. He's great. He's had a great career. But I think some of the arguments could be 1,000 yards doesn't mean what it did in 1973. Everybody and their mother's getting 1,000 yards. And there are a lot of guys that are getting it. There's no question about it. But he's been great over a long period of time. He deserves a gold jacket. I believe he's going to get a gold jacket. If his career ended today, I think he'd have a gold jacket. But first ballot. Now, somebody would say, well, wait a minute, Larry Fitzgerald is eligible next year, first year. I think the voters are going to think that Larry Fitzgerald is a little bit of a cut above Mike Evans. So I think he will get in first ballot. And Drew, by the way, Drew Brees is also on the ballot. So that's two spots I think are going to be taken up right away. And that makes guys wait even longer. But anyway, Steve, I think that assumption is wrong that, you know, Mike Evans is not going to be a guy where I say Mike Evans and I sit down. Which is what I wanted to do for Derek Brooks, but I didn't.
It could happen if he has two more good years this year.
His touchdown total is very impressive.
His touchdown total will be so elite.
Yeah,
and if he breaks that record, you know, it could be that kind of situation where you don't need to explore the things he didn't do. You could just say, look, the guy's number six all time in touchdowns, and he has the all time record
over Jerry Rice.
Over Jerry Rice. What more do we want? You want a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Everything any team would want.
Now, again, that's, you know, 6-7 years down the line, Steve. So I'll be pushing 80, Steve. And you'll be pushing me in a wheelchair.
I have a feeling you'll be just fine. Feeling you'll be just fine. And, hey, 71, that's don't add years. Yeah, you need 9 more. Sage, I'm going to turn it over right now to General Manager Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, who's going to explain the 000, what that means at Bill Curry Ford. Visit BillCurryFord.com.
So when you're looking to buy a new vehicle, service a new vehicle, or if you need a part, please visit BillCurryFord.com, which is basically the first family of Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. We have amazing specials going on in August right now. We have 0-0-0. That's 0%, zero down payment, and zero payments for 90 days. It's a really great thing, and summer is ending, so this is the last days of the summer sale. So right now is the best time to schedule your mobile visit for free, your pickup and delivery for free. If you have a recall, if you got an announcement on a recall, don't worry. Just call us. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com. You can do it right online. Schedule. We'll come right out to your home and do the recall right in your driveway, right on a Sunday where you get to watch NFL football. So lots of great things going on.
All right. Great to hear from Sean, our favorite draft guru, BillCurryFord.com.
And he'll be in our fantasy league, as will you, Stephen. Todd Wright League. Todd Wright
League. I love competing against you guys. The problem with that league is that there are so many past champions and so many good players. This is not a joke of a fantasy league. It is very serious.
You know, one thing I've learned, Steve, is, and it's happened to me so many times, you got this guy in your mind, and you're 4 picks away, and invariably, the guy's taken.
Sure.
Right before you. Ooh, that's a gut punch, Steve, you know? I want Sean Tucker. Oh, somebody just took Sean Tucker.
If you draft Sean Tucker, I know I'll be happy.
You get what you deserve.
I'll be very happy in the fantasy
league. You know
what?
He's not a bad backup, Steve. He's not a bad backup.
Look, the Bucs think he's a starting caliber. Chris Sims was among those flapping before the draft that he's a top running back. And what a great guy to have on the roster. I mean, it's another feather in Jason Light's cap, because I think if he's pressed into duty, we're going to see some good play. I really do.
By the way, Steve, something happened. Something happened yesterday that tangentially is involved with the Buccaneers. And that is, there was a court ruling on John Gruden, Steve. And I think it was a major step for the Gruden lawsuit. Now, he's suing the league and Roger Goodell personally. And this is about this clause about arbitration. The NFL wants this thing to go to arbitration.
Yeah.
And according to the clause, that the guy that's ruling on the arbitration is Roger Goodell. Well, that can't happen. You know, that makes no common sense. If it's involved with an NFL employee and Goodell's making the decision, that makes no common sense.
Well, look, a big part of this was that he was not an NFL employee.
That's right.
At the time,
that's right,
of these insensitive emails. Van Gruden is basically saying, look, it was a witch hunt. The NFL leaked these emails from a private investigation.
Mike Florio's all over
of Washington.
Steve. He's all over.
And, you know, Gruden, as he said, he wants the truth to come out. Just for the sake of, like I would with any situation like this, I hope it does go to a trial so the truth can come out, whatever that is.
And now he's back in the Ring of Honor. So Buck fans have an interest in what's going on.
I'm sure they'll find a number that he's okay with. And
It's not going to discovery and trial. I don't think that's happening.
I don't know. But he's got a lot of money.
Now, the NFL might take this to the Supreme Court. I don't know if they would take this case.
I'm not sure they'd take it.
Yeah.
If they touch it. But
it was a good victory for the Gruden
side. No, huge. And hopefully he settles and can move on. But he wants to coach. And maybe they make some sort of deal. Who knows what kind of backroom deals
they can make.
Now, he's
talking about the SEC. I'm not buying it, Steve. I don't think Gruden wants a coach in college. Once you've had a taste of the pros, Steve, I don't see it. I think Gruden wants to get back in the NFL.
Yeah, because I think Gruden believes that, you know what, as important as football is to him, I think he believes, I got a shot. As John Gruden, I got a shot. If I can find another Super Bowl team, I can get in the Hall of Fame, which would be everything to him. It would be everything. And I think, legitimately, if somehow he got back into coaching and won a Super Bowl, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Between what he did with the Raiders early and the Bucks and this new team.
Get himself a good general manager and he's got a chance.
Yeah. So who knows? But a lot of fans are rooting for John Gruden, and I'm rooting for the truth because it'll be fun no matter what it is.
Wouldn't it be fun for that to go to trial, Steve?
Look, they'd be deposing Team Glazer, who was in those emails.
Dan Snyder be deposed.
Yeah. Bruce Allen, they'd pull him out of wherever he is, your buddy.
Newport Beach.
Ira, so the Bucs cut their number three quarterback, Michael Pratt, who was injured. They waived him. And
Irrelevant.
So they've got Bridgewater number five on the official depth chart, which of course tells you what official depth charts are really worth. But they didn't keep this guy, and you think Bridgewater plays on Saturday? That's my big question for you.
I think he plays in each of the last two games. I think they're going to want to look at him. He's never thrown a pass as a Buccaneer, preseason or regular season. They want to see what kind of rapport he's got with some of these guys. Look, I'll be the first to say Kyle Trask did a nice job Saturday night. Nice job. Nothing to complain about. Looked poised. You know, those first couple of passes were sharp, Steve. Right off the bat. First pass of the game to McMillan. It's a good play. But in the long run, Steve, I still think he's going to be in trouble holding on to that number two job. They brought in Bridgewater for a reason, Steve. And they didn't bring in Bridgewater to give him a look and then cut him. They're concerned about Trask, and they're still concerned about him.
You know, the more nagging injuries that pile up, the more those roster spots become valuable because, okay, if Rashad White won't be back, let's say, for example, even though we know he's day-to-day, but you never know with a groin, he tweaks it. Let's say he's not back till week three. Then you got to save a roster spot for him and have a running back there that becomes fewer and fewer spots for an emergency number three quarterback. So, you know, you just pick any positions. You get some injuries, you got to have guys. So I don't know what they do with Bridgewater. I guess there's a chance he lands on the practice squad. If they had some sort of wink-wink handshake agreement, we'll put you on the roster in week two or three.
I think they're going to end up having a comfort level with Bridgewater as Mayfield's backup that they don't necessarily have about Trask.
Yeah, I think so. But I think they will keep Bridgewater. We'll keep the three quarterbacks if I had to put money on it. I think they will do that out of the gate. And
let's
go
hope Mayfield
from there.
Play 17 games. I mean, it would go a long way towards the success of the 25 Buccaneers.
Oh, it would go long, long, long way. Sage, I got to say, because we slapped around Chris Braswell a little bit, I did, you know, I've watched the game 17 times already. And I will say Braswell on kick coverage, the opening kick, the Bucs scored first, then they kicked off. He was the guy who broke through. He was the guy who played it like Bulls wants, said he wants hellacious
That could
players.
Save him a roster spot.
Well, he's not going to get cut.
Right.
But
he did.
He did his job on special teams, and he did his job against the run. I don't know if that means anything, but he at
How
least.
How do you look at the point of attack? Is he stout?
It's a small sample size. You know, I see fans ripping him. I see fans saying, oh, you can see his burst. He's not doing that much. He's got a lot to prove in the pass rush. And, you know, we'll see a lot more from him this preseason. But what do you make of Rondae Barber? And we've mentioned Barber a million times here. Rondae Barber on the broadcast said, quote, Make no mistake, this is a, quote, crucial preseason for him. That's what he said. The whole quote. Make no mistake, this is a crucial preseason for Braswell. Why is it crucial?
Well, I agree with you. He's not going to get cut. He's not going to get cut.
So why is it crucial for him? David Walker.
In terms of earning playing time.
Well, who are they going to play? They lost Walker.
He'll be a situational pass rusher.
So are we supposed to believe he's competing with Jose Ramirez? I mean, it was a strange take. Only because, Barber, look, we know he's close friends with Jason Light. We know how involved he is in the organization. Crucial?
Well, Light's on record saying Braswell's going to shock the nation.
Yeah, shock the world.
Look, you want a rotation, Steve. You don't want Reddick necessarily taking 65 snaps defensively. You need a breather, especially in September, Steve, with the weather. And you got two home games in September before things cool down a little bit before mid-October. So there's going to be spots for Braswell, but he's got to earn them. Steve, he's got to earn them. Otherwise, he's going to lose them to a Ramirez or somebody else. I think that's what Rondé meant. You're right. He's not getting cut. He's not getting cut.
FloridasEliteRestoration.com. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. That's what they are. Elite when it comes to restoration. Fire, flood, mold, storm damage, water damage. You just have to call them first, Ira. I don't know what else to tell people. You call them first and get to their website now so you understand what they do. Look at their 5-star Google reviews across the board and feel good that, hey, I know who to call if something bad happens, because if you call the wrong company, you'll get screwed. That's what happened to me.
Steve, Sean Sullivan used them once, and if he didn't like the job they were doing, he wouldn't have called them the second time. So when you use a company the second time, that means they did the job for you the first time. That's what I look at.
And just to be clear, Sean had two disasters. He didn't have one that he needed refixed.
Storm issues.
Owner Josh Martin, Florida's Elite Restoration. He has got the Ira Kaufman discount. Just call, mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan, and if you need their services after your free inspection, you'll get $500 back if you move forward. And they do repairs, Ira, and replacement. You know, so if your kitchen got trashed, they're not just going to restore. They'll do all the work if that's what you need. So they're a one-stop shop, FloridasEliteRestoration.com.
By the way, Steve, I got to thank you for this Tampa Tribune package. I guess you went to an estate sale and you found some old Tribunes, so I'm going to be taking a jog down memory lane tonight, yeah, reading these old Tribunes.
It was kind of fun that it's a 1998
opening
the stadium commemorative issue. A bunch of stories in there.
With an old picture of Brian Ford in there.
Yeah, so 1998, even in the official bag, kind of fun. It's all right, Ira, look, the four guys, I'm going to give you four names, and you tell me how many are going to take a step up in their game, and if they do what you think they'll do, will that cover if there's some other issues around the Bucs defense? So, these are four young ascending veterans. Logan Hall, Zion McCollum, Kalijah Kancey, Yaya Diaby. These are young veteran players we should all assume are going to take a step up. But who do you think is going to step up, and what's that going to mean?
McCollum steps up in a contract year.
What about Hall?
Hall, he did improve last year.
5 sacks.
He did improve. But I don't think he's somebody that they're counting on to be a splash player. I'd like to see McCollum get his mitts on four balls. Four. I'm not saying eight. I'm saying four. And with the amount of times that guys pass against the Buccaneers, mostly because they think they can succeed, and some of it is they're not bad against the run. Last year they took a little bit of a step back. But I think the word is out. Throw on the Bucs. Draw on the Bucs. So we certainly saw it last year. I think only Minnesota faced more passes than the Bucs defense. So with all those passes, pick off four. Contract year for McCollum. He's got to firmly establish himself as the number one cornerback on this team. We don't know what's going on with Morrison. I don't know if Jamel Dean's going to be a Buck pass this season, and you don't either. And I'm tempted to say Kancey, but he's already shown me enough. I don't think Kancey, well, just staying healthy. When he plays, he's a hell of a player.
Diaby,
I don't think he's ever going to be a 12, 13 sack guy, but he's pretty stout against the run. I'm going with McCollum because of the contract year. McCollum
steps up. You think Kancey's better? Now, and I say better meaning as a player.
I think Kancey has a shot to make the Pro Bowl.
He may play the whole season.
Is that good?
And if he plays the whole season the way he normally plays, he's going to make the Pro Bowl because he'll end up with...
He could end up with 9-10 sacks. Yeah. That's a huge total for an interior line.
Ira, the way I'm looking at it is, you know, if those guys are... They're young veterans. They're great athletes, all of them. And if they can just take a slight step up in their primes here in a defense they're so familiar with. If they all take a little step up, that should cover for if.
Now, you didn't mention Hassan Reddick,
just talking about those four guys. If they all take a half step up in their games.
It's a good way to look at it.
That could cover for Levante David falling off.
But I could also say if Reddick gets the job done and Winfield comes back to form, again, I'm not going to hold him to 23 standards. I don't think that's fair. That's like when Devin White had the 9 sacks. You know, just because the guy got 5 doesn't mean he had a bad year. Now, Devin White did have some bad years, but that...
What do you make of Jason Light blasting Devin White in the Dan Pompey feature in The Athletic?
I just think he...
I didn't like it.
Well, he ran out of patience defending him, and Bowles has always defended him. Bowles didn't say it. Light did.
Light said too much me first, too much selfish stuff.
Now, you know, I said on this podcast, Steve, a couple of years ago, and I think I might have shocked you when I said
it. You made it very clear.
I said, this guy's a problem.
Trouble behind the scenes.
This guy's a problem in the clubhouse. I'm thinking of the Rays over there in the locker room. He's a problem, and he was. That's why he's not a Buck anymore. But you're right. You don't often hear a GM talk about a first round pick like that.
It was kind of interesting because it smelled like a division between Light and Bowles.
I think there might have been,
because if he was a problem, they didn't just learn about it in 2023, which was his last season.
Yeah.
So why was he there for 2023?
He was a problem during Brady's last year.
And if that Bucks locker room of Tom Brady, who had had discussions with Devin White that were documented, and playing with Levante David, and just some of the guys that Devin White was around, if he couldn't straighten himself out and realize, look, being a selfish player is not
but it got
the
worse.
Way you do it.
It got worse without Brady being on the premises. It got even worse.
I don't know. Maybe it was just masked by Brady. I don't know. But something smelled like, you know, Light saying that. I'm sure it's true. I know what you had been told, but it's a little odd. It feels like Todd Bowles maybe said, let's go with Devin. We'll straighten him out. And it didn't work.
But at the end of the year, they did bench him, Steve. Did bench him.
But that's not what you want.
Yeah. A lot of chatter about Sanders, Steve. A lot of chatter about Sanders. Buck fans are interested in this kid. You know, he's got the name recognition. They're going crazy over the hit he put on the Titans' backup quarterback. It was a nice move.
He's got a lot to prove.
But he's got a lot to prove.
I don't think anything changed. Jason Light, though, did go out of his way to mention him and J.J. Roberts, the other undrafted safety. He's the guy who tipped the ball that was picked off earlier in the game.
Boy, they got a lot of people competing in that defensive backfield, Steve. A lot of people.
Yeah, a ton of people. And I think they need
Where's Josh Hayes in all this? You know, he
was out there. He dropped an interception the other night.
Yeah, he was out there.
Up in Pittsburgh, Lee has probably been to Primanti Brothers twice already we speak.
You're and right. It's like when he goes to Indy, he goes to that deli, Shapiro's Deli.
Goes to Lee
loves
Lee,
it.
Lee hits the hits him hard and hits him early. We'll see. We'll get into some shenanigans up there. We'll see what Lee has found in the bars and in the streets.
And we'll be back at the end of the week, you know, after the game.
Yeah, we'll be back after the game. That's what I was going to ask you before we get out of this podcast. Is there something you want to see in this game? Aside from everybody healthy, is there something you're looking for? For me, I want to see Charlie Heck within the first team O-line structure, just kind of what that might look like.
And I want to see Reddick. I want to see Reddick. I want to see what kind of shape he's in, how quick he is off the ball, which I've been hearing about all during training camp. I got to figure he'll be coming off the left edge, which I think he's used to.
He will be. Yep.
And Diaby doesn't have to change positions, which is good. I'm looking for Mr. Reddick or off the edge against the right tackle of the Steelers. I'll be watching.
Is it fair to freak out if he plays
11
snaps and doesn't do much?
No, but I want to see a variety of moves. You know me, Steve. I'm a stickler for this stuff. Now, he's different because he's already a proven vet. He's proven. But I see all these guys, and the Bucs have drafted a bunch of them, but a lot of teams make this mistake. You know, a guy with a speed rush off the edge, they get to the pros, they're not playing Portland State anymore. Or East Carolina. And, you know, these tackles are too good for a guy who doesn't have any counter moves. You got to have counter moves. Now, Reddick has them. He doesn't have to prove that to me. But I want to see if he's going to be a factor in Saturday night's game. But I'm not going to freak out if he's not. I just want to see him.
That's the Sage. We are out. Ira Kaufman Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. And subscribe, and we appreciate the many thousands of subscribers.
I want to thank all the people that sent me birthday wishes. Much appreciated.
It was a lot.
Means a lot to me.
It was a lot. Absolutely a lot. Also, Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, you can find on Apple Podcasts as well and other platforms. Really a great, great listen if you're trying to be prepared for the season.
He's a very sharp fantasy player, Todd.
Yeah, and think a little bit out of the box and have some better understanding. I'm enjoying it. I'm getting ready to beat the pants off the Sage. And
you know what he's a master of, Steve? Because I've been in about 5 drafts with him. His drafts are okay. They're just okay. But he's fantastic about picking up guys as the season goes on.
Yeah.
He jumps on them. He reads everything. He knows what's going on out in San Francisco. And he's grabbing the backup running back because the regular guy might miss a couple of weeks. And then the backup gets the job. Not San Francisco necessarily because they got McCaffrey. He's thrived on that, Steve. The pickups during, you know, because you can't just rely on your draft. You got to make your adjustments. And Wright's great at it.
Yeah, you got to do your homework. You got to do it early, too, so you're ready to do those things. But anyway, also, Bobby Fenton, the Free Stretch podcast, is back every Thursday at JoeBucksFan.com.
And we'll be on DAE on Saturday.
WDAE on Saturday, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So we got the replay on Saturday. Some good time slots there. Great to be on twice. And, of course, the Best in Class podcast, can't forget that, with Sean Sullivan breaking down. You can go back on Apple and listen to his breakdowns of all the drafted rookies by division, which is pretty cool. He wrapped that up. It's really a fast look at who you need to know, a really good help with fantasy in addition to just learning the league and knowing what's going on. Sean's great with drafting the rookies with the fantasy league. He goes rookie heavy, and all of a sudden by the end of the season, he's blowing people away.
I drafted Bucky Irving last year. I did. I drafted him in like the 9th round. Turned out to be a nice piece for me. The Bucks have some star power in terms of fantasy, Steve.
Oh, big time.
Start with Mayfield, you know, and right through Evans and Bucky
all
Irving.
All the way through. All the way through. Which, you know, look, high-scoring team, and we hope that continues as we march toward the Super Bowl. They got a shot, Ira, if things go right, which is just exciting to even think about. But, all right, we'll talk about it, of course, endlessly here on the Ira Kaufman
Podcast.
Sorry,
Jason Light, you can't play the no respect card anymore. People are jumping on the Buck bandwagon.
It's over, Jason.